Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is September the 20th, year of our Lord, 2022. and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us today. We've had a great day, a beautiful day here in the Carolinas. I hope you were able to get out and get some of that sunshine. It was not too hot, wasn't too cold. Hope you were able to get out and enjoy the great day that we have had today. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are now having in-person services. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of our services at First Baptist of Holly Springs. We're doing all that we can to make sure that you are safe in the house of God. We do take temperatures when you come in. We do ask that you wear your face covering. We are practicing social distancing and sanitation. So we pray that you will come and be a part of the worship service at First Baptist. You are cordially invited. Please adhere to all rules and regulations concerning being safe in the house of God. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. There you will find more information about First Baptist. You'll find the Sunday morning services there. We go live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. All of our services start on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We go live on Facebook at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning. You can see the First Baptist of Holly Springs Sunday morning service. You can be a part of that service as well. Also on the Facebook page, you'll find the link for the Bible study, which you're listening to now. All of our Bible studies are archived. That means that 3 or 4 months from now, if you'd like to go back and hear this Bible study or any other Bible study that we have done this year, you can do so by simply going to the Facebook page, First Baptist of Holly Springs, find the Bible study that you would like to hear, click on that link. It will take you directly to the Bible study. Also, you will find information about the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina and the Wake Baptist Association. So we invite you to go to our Facebook page, scroll around, and see what's going on at First Baptist. As I said before, you are cordially invited to come and be a part of our services each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Now, there are four ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can come to church and bring your gifts of offering. Also, you can mail your tithes or offering into the church. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. You could also stop by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30. Trustees are there to make sure that all of your financial needs are accounted. Also, we do have a Cash App. You can use the Cash App. You can be a supporter of the House of God tonight. That Cash App is FBCHS. FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. Of course, you put the dollar sign before the letters. FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the House of God tonight. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for another Bible study. We pray, God, that those who are on the line tonight, those who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded, will find clarity through the scriptures. We thank you, God, that you did not leave us without a word. And at times like this, we can go to our word. We can find instruction and correction for our lives. We thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ. Without him, where would we be today? We praise you and give you all the love and all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Our lesson tonight is a little different. We've been talking about the Christian body. I'm not talking about the body. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the Christian's body, your body, my body. How do we treat our bodies? Our last lesson, we talked about how the Bible refers to the body as a temple, and we should treat our bodies just like a temple, and things that we would not do in a temple, we would not do with our bodies. And so we've been talking about the body, the Christian body, your body, my body, because God does not just want us to be saved. He wants us to be healthy and saved as well. So tonight, we're dealing with watch what you eat, or you are what you eat, whichever way you want to put that. Watch what you eat, or you are what you eat. Now, this particular scripture is a very long scripture. I'm not going to be able to go through verse by verse like we normally do on Bible study, because there are 47 scriptures here, that I'm not going to try to go through all of them scripture by scripture. So I'm going to read the whole passage of scripture. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of the things that we've read, and we're going to talk about some of the things that are active in our lives today. Then I'm going to open the lines so that many of you will be able to have input as well as to our conversation tonight. Now, if you would like to call in, you can do so. Our area code is 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can participate in the Bible study tonight. At the outset, I would like to say, first of all, this Bible study is not about me telling you what you should or what you should not eat. I have not always kept the best diet myself, so I'm in no position to tell anyone else what they should or should not eat, but rather we're dealing with what the scripture says. We're talking about what the Bible says. It's up to you and I to do accordingly. However, we all know that certain things that we should not partake, and there are certain things that are good for us. So we're going to talk about some of those things, because Christianity is unusual among religions in that it does not have a closely defined purity code. There is not a laundry list of acceptable or forbidden foods. Most of the major religions have some sort of purity code. For instance, Judaism. Jews are known for eating only kosher foods, which for these are extremely orthodox or overwhelmingly devout, can require two sets of kitchenware. Muslims avoid eating food that is not killed or cooked in a specific way. Hindus do not eat meat, and many Buddhists are completely vegetarian. Christians, however, have no such restrictions. Some will keep to a version of the purity code listed out of the Old Testament. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But most Christians do not think twice about eating whatever they want unless they give up a specific food for fasting or for Lent. That does not mean that there is not wisdom and purity laid in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In fact, the Old Testament purity code has some advice that is good for everyone to follow for various reasons. Now, I'm going to get into the scripture. I hope you all will be able to follow me with this. We're at Leviticus 11, Leviticus 11, 1 through 47. I'm going to read the whole passage of scripture, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about it after that. In Leviticus 11, starting in verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying unto them, Speak to the people of Israel, saying, These are the living things that you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Whatever parts the hoof and is cloven-footed and chews the cud, among the animals you may eat. Nevertheless, among those that chew the cud or part the hoof, you shall not eat. The camel, because it chews its cud but does not part its hoof, is unclean to you. The rock badger, because it chews its cud but does not part the hoof, is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews its cud but does not part its hoof, is unclean to you. The pig, because it parts its hoof and cloven-footed, does not chew its cud, it is unclean to you. You should not eat any of the flesh, and you shall not touch the carcass, for they are unclean to you. These you may eat, of all that are of the waters, everything in the waters that has fins or scales, whether it is sea or in the rivers, you may eat. But anything the sea or the rivers that does not have fins or scales, or swarming creatures in the water, and of the living creatures that are in the water, is detestable to you. You shall regard them as detestable. You shall not eat any of their flesh, and you shall detest their carcasses. Anything in the waters that does not have fins and scales is detestable to you. And these you shall detest among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are detestable. The eagle, the beard vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the falcon of any kind, or raven of any kind, the ostrich, the nighthawk, the seagull, the hawk of any kind, the little owl, the short-eared owl, the barn owl, the twiny owl, the cimarron owl vulture, the stork, the heron of any kind, the whoopee, and the bat. All winged insects go on all fours and are detestable to you. Yet among the winged insects that go on all fours, you may eat those that have jointed legs above the feet and which do hop on the ground. Of them you may eat the locust of any kind, the ball locust of any kind, the cricket of any kind, the grasshopper of any kind. But all other winged insects that have 4 feet are detestable to you. And by these you shall become unclean. Whosoever touches their carcasses shall be unclean until the evening. Whosoever carries any part of their carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the morning. Verse 26, every animal that parts the hoof but is not cloven-footed or does not chew the cud is unclean to you. Everyone that touches them shall be unclean. And all that walk on their paws among the animals that go on all fours are unclean to you. Whosoever touches their carcass shall be unclean until the evening, and he who carries their carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. They are unclean to you. Verse 29, and these are unclean to you among the swarming things that swarm on the ground, the mole rat, the mouse, the great lizard of any kind, the gecko, the monitor, the lizard, the sand lizard, the chameleon. These are unclean to you among all that swarm. Whosoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until evening. And anything in which any of them falls on, they are dead, when they're dead, shall be unclean. Whether it is an article of wood or garment or a skin or a sack, any article that is used for any purpose, it must be put into the water, and it shall be unclean until evening. Then it shall be clean. And if any of them fall into an earthenware vessel, all that is in it shall be unclean, and you shall break it. Any food in it that could be eaten or which water comes shall be unclean, and all drink that could be drunk from every such vessel shall be unclean, and everything on which any part of their carcass falls shall be unclean. Whether oven or stove, it shall be broken in pieces. They are unclean and shall remain unclean for you. Nevertheless, a spring or a cistern holding water shall be clean, but whosoever touches a carcass in them shall be unclean. And if any part of their carcass falls upon any seed grain that is it to be sown, it is unclean. But if water is poured on the seed of any part of the carcass falls on it, it is also unclean. Verse 39, and if any animal which you may eat dies, whosoever touches the carcass shall be unclean until the evening. Whosoever eats of his carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. Whosoever carries the carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. Every swarming thing that swarms on the ground is detestable. It shall not be eaten. Whatsoever goes on his belly, whatsoever goes on all fours, or whatsoever has many feet, any swarming thing that swarms on the ground, you shall not eat, for they are detestable. You shall not make yourself detestable with any swarming thing that swarms, and you shall not defile yourself with them and become unclean through them. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not defile yourself with any swarming thing that crawls on the ground. For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Verse 46. This is the law. About beast and bird, and every living creature that moves through the waters, and every creature that swarms on the ground, to make a distinction between unclean and the clean, and between the living creature that may be eaten and the living creatures that may not be eaten. Okay, that's the whole passage of scripture of the Old Testament. But I want to talk to you about today is the things that we do eat. Because some of us today must understand that what we are doing to our bodies is really a lot of harm. And because of that, I wanted to talk to you about that today. There is no secret to healthy living. Healthy living comes from treating the body as a temple. At 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 through 20, what we know not that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, last week we talked about how people use their bodies in all kinds of sexual perversion and all types of other things that people were doing with their bodies. But tonight, God wants us to speak on and talk about what we put in our bodies. God has given you that body, and he expects you to feed that body and to give it rest and to exercise it properly and to grow in both mind and spirit. Your body is designed to give glory to God because he owns it. And by feeding, this means eating food as how God designed it to be consumed, just like how our ancestors in the Bible ate. Foods in the Bible were a lot simple, more wholesome, void of harmful chemicals. People ate according to God's design. There was no heavy processing, no lab-made, no chemical-laden foods back then. This is why the cell's chemistry were never out of whack, allowing cells to repair themselves. As a result, health and healing occur right on the cellular level. And this is why a lot of people are sick and we cannot get well because of the fact of what we put in our bodies, because of the fact that we have polluted our bodies with so many things that are unclean. Now, I'm not talking about the things that we just read about in the book of Leviticus. Of course, none of us in the New Testament now have to adhere to the Old Testament. But what I wanted to do was read that for you so you could get an idea as to where we are and what we are doing as far as our nourishment is concerned. Now, if you pay close attention, there were several things that this particular scripture talked about. And one of them was the fact that animal fat. Animal fat is very harmful to the body. I know we all like animal fat. It makes the food taste good. We all like to eat those foods that make the food taste good, that animal fat, that grease from the animal. But animal fat is forbidden to be eaten. While this is part of the Old Testament purity code that is ignored, it is a good idea to follow it. Animal fat is horrifically unhealthy. While it may taste delicious, fat from animals are high in saturated fats. Saturated fats, in turn, are associated with heart disease, obesity, and other unpleasant health issues. While it may be acceptable from a spiritual point of view for Christians to eat the grilled fat of the edge of a steak, it is a better idea to simply cut it off and throw it out. There are other things that taste just as good without being so harmful to our bodies. If you noticed, another thing that they talked about was eating certain birds. And one of the things that they said was talking about eating bats. And it's hard for us to imagine that people actually ate bats, or people actually do eat bats. Bats are eaten in the Pacific realm. Those people that live in Asia and those parts of the world, they actually eat bats. Go figure. Bats are carry disease, and that disease can be a part of another part of something called Parkinson's dementia, or known as ALS-PDC. It's a disease that's frightening. It's a disease that can cripple you. I talked about eating vultures and eating those birds that eat dead things. So we have to be careful about that. I know a turkey is part of a vulture family as well. Not saying don't eat turkey. I'm just letting you know. Other thing they talked about is insects. Now, I know you and I, and mostly those of us who are listening to this broadcast, may not be into eating insects. But there are a lot of people who do. It's become somewhat cool nowadays for people to be able to claim that they have eaten bugs. And people bake brownies with crickets in them sometimes and give them away as a big tactic, let folk know they have a sophisticated taste. I've even been somewhere where people were serving fried tarantulas at some type of fair that I was at. I didn't eat any, but they had them there. Insects and arachnoids, arachnoids meaning spiders and things that have those long legs, they are a great source of protein and a common staple in many parts of the world. They are also risky food sources. Leviticus states that people can only eat various species of insects, locusts and crickets and grasshoppers, if you're into that, while those who enjoy conquering their fear of spiders by biting into a tarantula would argue that there are plenty of other sorts of bugs that are acceptable as foods. Many insects and arachnoids contain poisons, and they are toxic to humans. They're also excellent carriers of disease. While some may simply find eating creepy crawling things exciting or in, maybe everybody else is into it, Leviticus may have been right to declare them off limits. It is simply too easy to pick up the wrong sort of bug. If you are a mushroom eater, you got to be very careful about the type of mushrooms you eat. Certain mushrooms are all right. Then certain mushrooms will kill you dead. I'm talking about very dead. I don't know if it's such a thing as very dead, but dead. We have to be very careful of how you pick mushrooms and what you do as far as mushrooms are concerned and the type of mushroom plants that you may find. Another thing that that Leviticus may have spoke on is blood. The purity code of the Old Testament is filled with interjections against consuming blood. Beyond the various spiritual reason that consumption of blood is forbidden, it may also be a food that is better to avoid for health reasons. Blood is considered a meat byproduct by the USDA Food Safety and Inspection Services. It has to pass inspection both before and after the animal is slaughtered to be considered safe to eat. Pig's blood may be heat treated, and all the stock must come from a country free of swine fever in order to avoid passing the disease to humans. Similarly, there have been outbreaks of what is called H5N1 flu, which is linked to consuming dishes made with poultry blood. While blood can be a safe source of iron, it can also be a very risky to eat due to lingering disease and the risk of iron poisoning or those other diseases. This is why many of us do not like to eat rare meat. I do not like to eat rare meat. I don't like to see blood coming out of my meat when I eat it. Even though it has been cooked, I still don't like the look of it. Christians generally do not pay much attention to the list of forbidden foods in the Bible. They say that there is some legitimate health advice in the Old Testament. Many of the foods that are considered off-limits are things that Westerners were not planning to eat anyway. But some people still do. Those that are thinking of trying out a new dish or trying to be hip or trying to do something that other people are doing, I suggest that you do your research and find out whether this is something that you truly want to be completing your body, because those things can really, really hurt you. Now, all of us know that there are certain foods that there are for us to eat. There are certain foods that we should be eating. The Bible gives us clear indication of what those foods are. For he said that I've given you every seed, every herb to be eaten. Nuts to be eaten. There are many vegetables that can be eaten, that should be eaten by the human body, so that we can get the nourishment that we should get from those vegetables. I particularly like nuts. Nuts are good for you. Beans are good for you. Lentils are good for you. Greens are good for you. These are the types of things that we need to add to our recipes when we're making these big dinners. We're getting ready to go into the holiday season. Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming up, anniversaries, birthdays. So we're going to be doing a lot of cooking in the next few months, a lot of eating in the next few months. So I caution you that when you're making your recipe, your dinners up for the holidays, just add one dish that will be beneficial to the body. Just one dish. I know we don't adhere to all of the things that the Bible tells us to do, but if we just add one dish, it would be a great, great help in our lives. Now, I want to talk about briefly some things that we should be looking for. Only eat food. Eat only substances God created as food, number one. As much as possible, eat foods as they are created before they were converted or changed into something else. Avoid eating food addiction or additives. Do not let any food or drink become your God, of course. There are basic principles we need to apply to our daily life. aside from adhering to the diet that mainly involves food in the Bible, there are also some very simple principles that help us lose a whopping 50 pounds if we wanted to, if we just simply use some of the words, some of the scriptures, and some of the things that are taught to us in the Bible. For instance, Genesis 1 and 29, then said, I gave you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. Genesis 3 and 9, everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. We must realize that God has provided all that we need to sustain ourselves, God has chosen us to be. So we should eat as many vegetables as possible. As I said before, there are some people who are completely vegetarian. I've got a friend who's been a vegetarian for at least 40 years. I know 40 years. He's what I call a true vegetarian. I tried it for a few weeks, didn't like it, couldn't do it. I'm not saying that it's something that everybody should be into, but he seems to be very well, very healthy. He does not miss eating meat. He does not miss those that taste that we get from meat. So we need to eat as much as we possibly can those things that would help us to potentially be what God wants us to be. And, of course, we need the vitamins. We need the minerals. We need the essential fatty acids. We need the fiber. We even need the protein. All vegetables are great to eat, but the most potent ones for fighting heart disease and cancer the cruciferous vegetables. These are vegetables with four petals, which resemble the cross or crucifix, hence the name cruciferous. They are one of the 12 anti-cancering foods that we can eat. Not only that, as I said before, I mentioned nuts before, all types of nuts, macadamia nuts, Brazil nuts, walnuts, almonds, all of those nuts are good for you. One of the things that are staple in my house is peanut butter. We love peanut butter. I love peanut butter. And we keep peanut butter for snacking. Whenever I'm in between meals, I may get a peanut butter sandwich or something like that to keep going. Grains of any kind are very good for the body. Baked breads. Now, the thing about bread is this. For the last 35 years or so, I've only eaten wheat bread. I don't eat white bread. White bread has been processed, and the reason why it's white is because of the fact that there's so much starch and sugar in it. It turns the natural wheat, which is brown. Wheat is brown. So when you see white bread, that means that that brown bread has been changed to look white. That means it has been bleached. It has a lot of sugar in it. So if you can, only eat wheat bread or multi-grain bread. Those are the things that are good for you, and it has gluten in it that will help your body as well. Another thing that we need to deal with is eating moderation. During the pandemic, many of us got to the point where we just ate because there was nothing else to do, and I was in that boat as well. There was nothing to do but look at television and eat. You couldn't go out. You couldn't go anywhere. So during the pandemic, many people put on a lot of weight, because we couldn't do nothing but eat. And that was the only enjoyment that we could have during that two-year period that we were basically locked down. But as we come out of this pandemic and as we learn better, we have to learn how to eat in limitation and eat in moderation. It is not good to eat until you're so full that you can't hardly get up from the table. That's not a good thing to do. Even if you have to eat more than one or two meals, it is only good to feel yourself at a certain level and then stop. I have gotten down to about two meals a day. I eat a little breakfast and then usually one main meal a day. And I may not eat that whole meal at one time. I may eat half of that meal, and then a few hours later, I may come back and eat the rest of that meal. But I do not fill myself up. I'm not one of those preachers that just eat chicken, biscuit, biscuit, biscuit. I'm not a chicken and biscuit preacher. I'm not one of them kind of guys that just eat so much that the food fall off your plate. I've gotten away from that. That is not healthy. It's not healthy for us. It's not healthy as leaders of the house of God. It's not healthy for other people to see us eat like that, because they feel like if we eat like that, then they can eat like that. And that is not the case. Also, another perfect, or not perfect, but a good staple is honey. In its natural state, honey is perfectly edible. Up until the mid-1800s, honey was a primary sweetener. It was before the institution of sugarcane. In the Bible, people used honey to sweeten their food. This thick and syrupy substance was more than enough for them, and it was it took up about 40% of their sweetening factors. You can also find different flavors and colors of honey, such as dark honey or light honey. But honey is also good for you as well. So these are some of the things. Now, let's go to meat. Okay, Genesis 18, 1 and 8, Leviticus 7, 22 and 23, Leviticus 7, 28 through 36, Deuteronomy 14, Deuteronomy 32 and 14, 1 Kings 4, 22 through 23, Acts 15, 22 through 27, John 6 and 11. The Bible tells us to very plainly to stay away from unclean meat. But what exactly is clean and unclean? Remember, during the teaching, God is trying to help people, especially the Israelites, to remove their influence that they had gotten in Egypt. Even their health mattered to God. Clean and edible animals that are okay to eat are those that chew the cud and have divided hoofs. That's what the Old Testament says. These animals are like sheep, deer, goat, ox, antelope, gazelle. As for water animals to be considered as clean, they should have scales and fins such as salmon, cod, bass, flounder, halibut, perch, tuna, trout, snapper, herring, mackerel, haddock. A few other clean animals include duck, turkey, quail, Cornish hen, chicken, locust, grasshoppers. All of these were considered to be eaten at that time. Now, again, we're in the New Testament, and so a lot of people do not adhere to the Leviticus code of eating. We've come to a new understanding now. But what is it that we should be doing? I think that what we should be doing is to really monitor what we eat, because we have particularly in our community, we have a serious problem of high cholesterol. We have a serious problem of gastric problems. We have a serious problem of vitamin E deficiency, cancer, and stroke. And a lot of this can be avoided simply by what we put in our bodies. And that's why I wanted to bring this particular lesson to the forefront tonight. I wanted to talk about the Christian body, what we put in our bodies and what we should not put in our bodies. We should eat right and we should feel better. We should understand that God wants us not just to be saved, but God wants us to be healthy as well. And so much of the spiritual health is put on emphasis in the church. We talk about building up your spirit, building up your spirit, building up your spirit. We talk about the spiritual this and the spirit that and the spirit this. And all of that is good in the church. Supposed to talk about the spirit. But man also has a body. And we would be remiss if we only dealt with the spirit and not dealt with the body. Because those two things go hand in hand. Because what you put in your body can also affect your spirit. And we should know today that body and spirit and mind go together. This is why it's so important for us to adhere to some type of code. Maybe you don't follow the Leviticus code. Maybe you don't follow none of the things that I have talked about tonight. But you should have a list of things that you will and will not eat. There should be something within you that tells you that these are the types of things I'm going to start eating, because they're diseases, they're parasites, there are high toxic levels of metal and mercury and a lot of the food that we're getting today. You know and I know some of the food that we get, some of the vegetables we get are not even worth eating. Some of them are cloned vegetables. We don't have the farm anymore. We don't grow our own vegetables. We don't grow our own chickens. We don't grow our own pigs. We don't grow the things that grandma had back in the day, granddaddy had back in the day. We are at the mercy of the supermarket. We're at the mercy of Food Line. We're at the mercy of Harris Teeter. We're at the mercy of all of those that sell us food, the various markets that sell food. And we don't know where that food came from. We assume that it's good. We assume that it's healthy. And we buy that food, and we take it home, and we prepare it the best way we can, and we serve it to our families. One more thing before I open the lines, and that's water. We need to drink plenty, plenty water. Every human being should drink a lot of water. Because the human body is made of so much water, it takes a lot of water to replenish that water that is in us each day. So I'm going to open the lines tonight. Perhaps you have something that you would like to add as far as the things that you have learned over the years, as far as your diet is concerned. Maybe you have some instructions or foods that we didn't even talk about tonight. Perhaps you have some better ideas about eating food. I think that one of the things that that the Bible tells us to do is from time to time we need to fast. We need to go without eating at all and let the food that is in your body come out of your body before you put other food on top of that. So from time to time, at least we need to take a time to fast and don't eat anything for a while just to let food that's in our system go through. Okay, I'm going to open the line tonight. There may be some who would like to talk. If you do not, you don't have to. You're not obligated to speak. You can just simply say, I'm listening. I'll go to the next caller, and we'll move on from there. All right, so we're going to start right here. I'm going to start with Deaconess Rainey. I usually get to you last. I'm going to start with you tonight. Area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
What do you like to say about the Bible study tonight?
Oh, I like to say it's a great lesson teaching us the foods that we should not, you know, consume. And the ones that, you know, ones we need to stay away from. Mm-hmm. One thing I would like to say, I know you spoke on COVID, mm-hmm. but when people were in eating, because there was really nothing else to do as far as eating and it. Everybody, after they came out of COVID, was saying the COVID-15, you either got COVID-15 or you got COVID-30, which those were talking about so many pounds that you had gained while COVID right. was going on. But mm-hmm. I found in the past when I was working, a good way to stay on track with a certain plan, eating plan that you want to stay on was prepping your food before time, especially like going to work. Because mm-hmm. if you don't have anything prepped, you'll grab anything and, you know, you just be eating anything. You won't be on your certain plan that you want to be on in order to maintain a certain, you know, healthy body, healthy mm-hmm. blood pressure and things like that. So I found that prepping your food when I was working was really a good thing to do for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a good idea. That's a good suggestion. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful idea. Let's go to area code 609, last four digits, 9126. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
How are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. Like to say something about the Bible study?
Well, yes, I think it was very good. And only thing that I would like to add is just eating a balanced meal. You say you eat two meals, you're down to eating two meals a day. But mm-hmm. a balanced meal, I don't eat so much in the morning as I might have a little bit more in the afternoon and then less in the evening. But eating a balanced meal, like my balanced meal might consist of a starch, a piece of meat, which is usually chicken. Don't eat too much beef or anything like that. But and also less bread and certainly a vegetable and fruit maybe in between.
Mhm. 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 Good.
So
I try
to focus on that, and you know, didn't do well during COVID, but that's been my practice in the past, and that's something mm-hmm. I need to get back.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I remember the different food groups we were taught when we were in school how to recognize the different food groups, and you're absolutely right. A balanced meal does make the difference more so than taste. I think a lot of folk go for taste instead of balance. Area code 215, last four digits, 0082. Are you on the line?
Yes, we're here.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. What do you think about the lesson?
Yes, very, very good. And I was wondering if it says anything in the Bible about root or like ginger root or turmeric root or garlic benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Or...
Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible speaks of the herbs and the trees, and I presume
okay.
it talks about the roots as well. Because that is part of the growing of the trees or plants that are coming out of the ground. Now, you know and I know that there are a lot of different benefits from various roots, ginseng roots, and a lot of other roots that are very good for the body. What I would suggest is people to do your research and find out whether that's right for you. I like ginger. Mm-hmm. I like that. Ginger's a root. I like ginger. And when I use ginger a lot in my cooking. So I think that that is a very good question. I think that all of us need to do more research on herbs and roots as we go forward. Anything else you would like to add?
No, thank you.
Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
I am. Good evening to everyone. This is
good
Sherry,
evening. How are you
and...
tonight?
I'm well. How about you all?
Doing good. Doing good.
Good, good. Yes, I know when I've always kind of been a picky eater, but when I was younger, you know, I love pork chops and things like that. But
mm-hmm.
as I've gotten older and my daughter, who is a health fanatic, has gotten on me a whole lot. I have definitely in the last probably 10 years or so tried to change my eating. I don't eat a lot of the same stuff that I used to. I still have a ways to go, but I do watch what I put in my body. I watch what I'm eating. I eat less pork, less beef now. I'm more into the fish and even with chicken, I've cut back. I know chicken is good for us because it's the protein, and my daughter's always fussing at me because she's like, "You're going too far. You gotta eat. You gotta have your protein." But, you know, I try to eat less meat and more towards the vegetables. My mother, she was somewhat of a vegetarian. She would every now and then eat a hot dog every once in a blue moon. And she would eat, I think it was, I want to say it was shrimp every once in a blue moon. But other than that, she really didn't care for meat. So she mostly ate vegetables a lot. So I've gotten more towards that. My daughter, sometimes she's doing the vegan thing. Sometimes she's doing the juicing. But she doesn't eat a lot of meat herself. So I've learned, you know, over, like I said, the last 10 years to leave some of the pork and some of the beef and all of that that we were eating before alone and try to eat healthier. Instead of grabbing that bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit that I like every morning, I'm now doing maybe oatmeal or maybe yogurt, but mostly oatmeal because I found that that's very good to start your day with.
Oh, yeah. Oatmeal is very good.
Yeah.
I love oatmeal. And it's good
Absolutely.
That you have a daughter.
I've learned
It's good that you have a daughter that's into that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, her major was health in the health field.
Amen.
She was an athlete.
Oh, she's an athlete?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Ms. Mangum, how are you this morning, this evening?
I'm good. I'm good. I enjoyed the lesson, and I enjoyed all the comments that everybody's already made. And me, myself, too, I just try to eat in moderation, you know, try to watch what I eat and try to eat more chicken and fish now, which sometimes I get tired of eating chicken. But it's just better for me, you know, to eat that because our health depends on a wise nutritional food that we eat. So in order, you know, to stay healthy and fit, we're going to have to try to make better choices of the foods that we do consume.
Mm-hmm.
And I drink lots of water.
I think, let me ask, let me go back to Sherry. Are you on the line? Are you still there?
Yes, I am still here.
Let me ask you something. Do you think because young people did not grow up the way we did, they have a different concept about food? Because when we grew up, I still remember fresh food. I still remember food coming out of the garden and being fresh. Now, the kids that are growing up today, they never saw that. They never had that. So you think that's a good thing because they never saw that? You think so?
That it's a good thing that they never saw it?
That they never had that had the taste for ham or had the taste for the food that our ancestors ate.
Well, if you're referring to the vegetables, they probably needed to see more of that. But for as far as the bad meats that we ate, such as you know the chitlins and the things that sometimes we cook, especially being from North Carolina in the country. You know, it's a good thing that they didn't see that, but I don't know that this McDonald's and these fast foods that they kind of grew up on is any better. As I was stating a little earlier, my daughter is an athlete, so once she started really focusing on her sport, she realized, hey, McDonald's French fries and those things, and when she did stop or realize that, she stopped everything like cold turkey.
Yeah, that fast food is a killer. It is. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yet, every now and then, I have a craving for a Big Mac. Every now and then, I gotta have a Big Mac. I know it's not good. But every now and then, I have a craving for a Big Mac. I don't understand it. It's just something in me. I can't help it. I'll pass 100 McDonald's, but then there's one I got to stop in. You know. Miss Mangum, if there was one food that you wanted to stop eating, that you wish you didn't have to eat anymore, didn't want to eat anymore, what would it be?
Sweets.
Okay. You could do without sweets?
That's what I wished I could do without.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to do that one or not. I love sweets. I don't know if I can handle that.
I gotta have some.
Try to do it in moderation. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Deaconess Rainey, if there was one food that you could stop eating, what would it be?
Probably fried, a majority of fried food.
Okay, anything fried.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you could easily do that because, you know, chicken is just as good baked. I know that, you know, a lot of people like fried chicken. I like fried chicken too, but, you know, but getting away from fried. Matter of fact, I've had doctors tell me years ago to start moving away from fried foods. Not that I had any kind of problem or anything, but they were just simply saying that fried foods were just not good for you. So one of the things that I've tried to do over the years is try to move further and further away from fried foods. I do a lot of baking, a lot of broiling now, and even cooking on the grill or whatever, you know, but that fried food, we all need to try to get away from that as well. Area code 609-9126. If there was any food that you could give up, which one would it be?
It would be probably fried fish. That's the
fried
one
fish?
Fried food that I enjoy. Fried fish. I enjoy fried fish.
Wow.
Not all the time, but when I eat fish, it's not always salmon. It's always, of course, broth. But fried fish, I love a good piece of fried whiting or some other type of fried fish, like catfish.
Okay. All right. Wow. Okay. 0082. 0082, if there was one food that you would give up, which one would it be? 215-0082. What would it be? Area code 757-5803. If it was one food that you could give up, what would it be?
That would probably be Chick-fil-A. Sorry.
What's wrong with Chick-fil-A?
Because most of it is fried and it's fast food, but I love Chick-fil-A. Yeah. I do. I'm guilty.
Yeah. You and First Lady both. Both of y'all like Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A is something, I tell you. For me, it would be bacon. I love bacon. I don't eat anything. I just love bacon. I like bacon on anything. I want to get away from eating bacon. I don't eat it that much. But every now and then, and I like the thick cut. I don't like the thin bacon. I like that thick bacon.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, if mm-hmm. I could get away from one thing, I would love to get away from eating that thick bacon, because it's just, I know it's not good for me, but it's just tasty, and I just like to eat it. I don't know why. But I thank all of you for being on the line. We pray that we'll continue to monitor ourselves as we go forward as children of God and make sure that we are eating healthy. I just wanted to take this time out tonight just to talk about that. I know it's a departure from our normal scripture-to-scripture Bible study, but I wanted to make sure as we go into these months leading to the end of the year that we do have something in mind that we should be doing as far as our diet is concerned, and be just aware of what's going on. I'm not saying that everybody's going to turn vegetarian, or everybody shouldn't eat this or you shouldn't eat that. I'm just simply saying let's be mindful of what we put in our bodies. Because it does matter to God what we put in our bodies. And as I said before, God does not just want us to be saved. He wants us to be healthy and saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being sick and saved is another thing. But being healthy and saved is what God desires for all of us tonight. So let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for this lesson. We thank you for those who have been on the line. We ask now, God, that as we leave tonight, that you will place in our hearts and our minds the right thing to do for nourishment for our bodies. For we know, God, our body is like a temple. You gave this body to us, God. You expect us to keep it and to maintain it. And so we ask now, God, that you would give us the strength, the wisdom, the know-how to do what we need to do to maintain and keep these bodies working as best as we possibly can. God, we know we're not here to stay forever. We know that there will come a time when we will leave this old world. But as we're here today, as we're here now, teach us, O Lord, to take care of what we have been given by you so that we can continue to do the work that you have called us to be. And not only that, God, teach us to be a witness to others so that they will know the grace that you have given us so that they will know also what they should eat and what they should not. So, God, we just thank you tonight. We pray and we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We ask, God, that you will touch those who are sick, those who are shut in, those who are locked behind prison bars. They may be locked up, but they're certainly not locked out. So we just thank you right now, God, for all your mercy and for all your grace. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all tonight.
Amen.
Thank you all for being on the line. Thank
you
all for putting on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I put it all I put it all in his hands. The problem I could not solve was the Lord. Lord, it's too hard when I could not.
Is it?